Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the SmackDown preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dudley Boys, Michael Hamflett from What Culture, to look ahead to tonight's episode of Friday Night SmackDown. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts, where we not only review SmackDown, but also Monday Night Raw, NXT, Super. AW Rampage pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, though, joined by Hamlet to look ahead to SmackDown tonight, which features the return of the Tribal Chief, a tag team title match. Two big, meaty men going at it. But never mind all that. Michael Hamlet, is tonight the night that Bray Wyatt is back in WWE?
Look, I've enjoyed over the past sort of 6 to 8 months a stupid little thing that I do on stupid little Twitter where the Fiend's getting into a car and the door says forbidden on it, because it just seemed inevitable that Bray Wyatt at some point would make his return to wrestling. Do you remember, Wilborn, on a trip that we've obviously luxuriated in talking about from time to time on the podcast, and our trip to Dallas, when we walked right past Bray Wyatt making one of his very few appearances?
Yeah.
I think it was.
I do.
I felt the presence of the Fiend brush past my shoulder in a very literal sense. And yet, we've not been able to speak about him in a professional context since we were doing podcasts like this over Skype today, video recording. I haven't got COVID, by the way, just for anybody listening. It was just, I had to work from home today. But we haven't been able to talk about the Fiend in a professional context since we were doing this every week.
Yeah.
The last time the Fiend was within WWE in any kind of official capacity. I keep saying the Fiend. I should probably give him the respect to saying Bray Wyatt, because I don't know if the Big Clown's back or not. I don't know what they're doing. Bray Wyatt was around. We were still pretty much confined to our homes. It has been that long.
Yeah.
It's been that long. He was WrestleMania, of course. Alexa comes out of the box-like structure. Randy beats him in an even shorter time than he beat him in that Projections on the Mat year. And then Bray cut a promo on Raw where it felt as if he was saying goodbye to that version of the gimmick. And then WWE said goodbye to that version of the gimmick. I can't quite believe that so much went on in the time following Bray Wyatt's exit. The world has gradually returned to normal. He has somehow avoided making any wrestling appearance. And maybe now, as we sort of sit on the precipice of an awesome return on SmackDown, he's played the long game perfectly. He couldn't have predicted that his employer would not be Vince McMahon upon his return. But he probably could have assumed that people would have been very hyped for it. And based on the videos on Monday and our giddiness in the office this week, some of it a little bit ironic, but based on the general sort of atmosphere and the sense of anticipation, he's played this brilliantly, I think.
Yeah, I mean, we are assuming that the date and the White Rabbit stuff all leads to Bray Wyatt on SmackDown tonight. But yeah, it's one of those, a bit like when we talked about Punk debuting on that Rampage many, many moons ago. You're 95% sure of it. And Phil and I were talking about this on the news this morning. Credit to WWE the way they've done it. They've not dragged it out for weeks and months. They've not done the whole, who could it be? It's clearly this person. There is room for debate. There is room for speculation. But also, there is room for quiet confidence. Yes, that this is the return of Bray Wyatt. And yeah, this isn't just, you know, no offense to someone like a Braun Strowman, but this isn't just the return of a guy who you think probably will do his best stuff in WWE, which I do think still applies to both Braun and Bray. But it is the return of someone who has reinvented himself on numerous times to great success, I think it's fair to say. You know, maybe not always, you know, world title reigns that, you know, last long and what have you, but certainly it's never dull, is it?
No. I think this is all sort of joking aside and all sort of flippancy aside, we as a collective, like I'll include sort of Sidgwick in this as well, as a three, and indeed in the opposite of what culture, we kind of realized that the best way to enjoy the Fiend or the antics of Bray Wyatt was to just do it from a bit of a distance. If you really invested in that character, and you know, there might be some people listening to this who were of this ilk, who maybe would have like dropped money on the Fiend belt or would have wanted so much for the Fiend lore to all tie together, Vince McMahon's WWE was simply not the place for it. But we kind of don't know what he will look like under Triple H's guidance. We don't know. I will assume, if nothing else, Triple H will strive for consistency, will strive for the rules of this character to make sense. So no matter what happens to Bray going forward, or what version of him we get, if it is indeed, as you say, there's, I guess, a 5% chance it isn't him, but assuming that it is, whatever version we get, you just sense that it'll be something that will cling to more logic than the last one did, and then that gives it a fighting chance. You mentioned Braun Strowman, and they haven't yet explored in any great detail what Braun is doing back. Eric Redbeard has kept himself busy in incredible flourishes without ever getting signed in AEW, so he is also at large. You know, it's the Wyatt family now seems so long ago that, you know, and obviously the tragic passing of Luke Harper, Brody Lee, John Hubert, that it would almost seem, in some senses, sacrilegious to go back to it. And yet, WWE did during the Swamp Fight, didn't they? They acknowledged a previous link between Braun and Bray, and in a lot of matches, I'm sure they want people to forget. But now, with crowds back and with somebody else holding the wheel, and maybe Bray Wyatt being tethered a little bit more to something with a little bit more control, I see no reason why you don't give this a chance.
Mm-hmm.
A huge, huge amount of money. I'm not a fan of Bray. I'm not a fan of the gimmick, the work, etc. I'm a fan of the fun, and a lot of money was left on the table, whether you like the fun or you like how serious this all is first time around. Triple H, be foolish not to try and go and get it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you and I were in love with the Fiend when he first arrived. I remember I was watching the SummerSlam match with Finn Balor on repeat when it first went down, and talking about how that entrance is genuinely quite disturbing.
It's all how you treat that character. You know, Bray Wyatt, even the non-Fiend one, even Bray without the mask and the tongue sticking out or whatever, even if he goes back to being this cult leader or this preacher or whatever, there are still things you have to observe, rules you have to observe. Like, does he have magic powers? Does he not? Like, to what extent can he use his supposed, you know, abilities that maybe other wrestlers wouldn't have, to the point where it's like, well, Bray, mate, why are you grabbing a headlock?
Mm.
Like, I love that you're working the knee, but you can set the ring on fire, so maybe just do that. It's quicker. So you really do have to be a lot more careful, and I think sometimes people don't understand that. And it's maybe why we maybe sometimes come across like we're just taking the piss out of it. There should be rules. Triple H often picks rules over fun. So if anything, I actually think he could be the right guy for this, if it is indeed Bray. This white rabbit stuff suggests that they're making effort for his potential return. So it would then be wasteful not to make effort about what they're going to do next with him as well. Did you see we haven't really talked about this in the office, the Extreme Rules poster with the lantern buried in the background. You know, these are nice details, and they know that people enjoy picking these things apart in Reddit threads and the like. So if they're willing to put this amount of detail into a comeback, then you can reasonably assume they've got his first big program set up, or they've got his first big rivalry. It's not just, as it would have been maybe under Vince, the Fiend on SmackDown tonight, and then we have 10 minutes of discussion on him. And then what he does is comes out and he scares Vince out the ring, and then he goes rah, 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 and clicks his fingers and the lights go off, and that was the Fiend.
Yeah.
Like, it's safe to assume that one thing will lead to another, which will lead to another.
Yeah, do you think, we'll talk about the match now, we may as well, do you think he'll be in and around the Strowman-Otis match, or do you think it'll be a completely separate thing? And how do you think the Strowman-Otis match is going to go?
Well, I think he might be as part of the Strowman-Otis match, but I suppose it very much depends upon where he fits in on this show. and how overt they want to be about the teasers. The Alexa Bliss flickering lights on Raw on Monday felt somewhat tethered to this, didn't they?
Yeah.
They're still being there with Lily and Bailey making a point about Lily biting and all that sort of stuff. Like, they were willing to lean in a little bit to the previous ties with the Bray Wyatt imagery and the iconography and stuff. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Bray Wyatt return is the last thing on the show tonight.
Yeah.
With Roman Reigns being out, like being under advertised, that's your first half an hour taken care of. There's a big tag match. But Braun and Otis could be a mid-card thing where the lights flicker and it's a little bit of a reminder that these characters were once tied together. Maybe nothing more overt than that. Braun gets the win. He's kind of empowered by this thing with Otis. He's been battering tag teams by himself, so it'd be insane if he couldn't beat Otis in a singles match. And then later on, if and when it is the White Rabbit stuff is paid off as Bray, people can then go back and revisit and be like, there was a tease there in Braun. What's happening there, you know?
Mm. And of course, we should also mention that there is allusions to Karrion Kross in all of this as well. What do you think's next for him and McIntyre? And does it factor into all of this as well?
TikTok. He's kind of, he's a white rabbit and a red herring, isn't he, Karrion Kross? Because they've put the little hourglass on. And I think they know that people will have looked for that and will have seen clues there. I think they're, honestly, this is where it goes back to the rules of the universe, right? I think the supernatural elements to the Karrion Kross gimmick, e.g., setting a contract on fire, making the entire world black and white, which really, to be fair to him, went underreported. I didn't see that in the mainstream news outlets that on a Friday a couple of weeks ago, everybody turned black and white. Like, I didn't see that getting picked up by sort of serious journalists anywhere. So that was a pretty big story. He has powers over the world that I think kind of make him look a bit stupid because he's about to beat Drew McIntyre. It's worth getting serious with this gimmick. He's about to defeat Drew McIntyre in a big pay-per-view match that should immediately position him as a serious threat to Roman Reigns, as a serious threat to Gunther, to anybody he wants. And I would expect tonight McIntyre to get a bit of a have a bit of a reckoning with Kross and maybe get a bit of physical revenge for getting put in, you know, like DJ Double K's like submission the other week. But it's like Triple H is all in on Karrion Kross, and you can't fault him for it. Adam might not like it, but you can't fault him for his commitment to it.
Yeah, exactly. It feels relatively straightforward. I've got to give a shout out, by the way, to Jake at Jake C. Laycock, who's put DJ Double K and the Kross jacket in
Kross jacket
into our minds. With the edit, let's say, he's done on Cross's attack on McIntyre from a couple of weeks back. Last week, obviously, he had McIntyre saying, I'm going to bloody bar you, 3-2-1, lights out sort of thing. Lights out, who knows? Ooh, you know.
It's a spooky SmackDown tonight, isn't it? There's an awful lot of spookiness.
But, it feels really easy to do this. Like you say, maybe McIntyre hits him with a claymore this week. Maybe it's factored into the Bray Wyatt stuff, like I said. But at the end of the day, on October 8th, it's Kross murdering McIntyre, probably via the Kross jacket. And then I think it should be a genuinely surprising squash. That's what I'd have. Like he did against Ciampa when we were like, right by his character.
No, I think at this point as well, they haven't made any sort of conscious effort to have Drew be, he's kind of like trying to no-sell this massive setback, isn't he? You know, he's clarting around with Solo Sikoa and just, I'll get my revenge next time and all that. It's a really significant setback has occurred in Drew McIntyre's professional life. And as soon as it happened, he was singing Oasis with Tyson Fury and then trying to fight Roman Reigns' relatives as if that was going to get him his redemption. This is a man, and I'm speaking in genuinely within the terms of kayfabe here. This is a man who is not coping well with the thing that has happened to him. So I think it even stands to storyline reason that he would get murked by Kross because he would underestimate the challenge ahead of him.
Yeah.
And then that leads to the rethink and that leads to the, like, we've kind of forecast the heel turn, but it's some kind of significant reset for Drew as he begins like a long road back. I don't think Drew McIntyre, the babyface, is going to be a pet project of Triple H in the next 12 months. But that's not to say Drew McIntyre as a wrestler and as a character doing something different can't be massively featured.
Yeah.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Well, let's talk about something that normally is the first thing on our agenda next, Hamflet. And that is, of course, the bloodline, the Usos, the honorary Us, and, of course, the head of the table. Put up the wands. That's what me and Hamflet are doing on our Zoom call right now. The head of the table is back. I haven't really got a chance, obviously, with us being off on Monday, to get your thoughts on Roman Reigns coming back and facing Logan Paul at Crown Jewel.
It's pretty amazing, like, isn't it? Do you know what isn't amazing? Is that if we were in the studio together right now, our wands could have tagged, like, maximum male models. But we can't even see them because the screen cuts the frigging hands off. The Roman Reigns-Logan Paul thing, I wish, like, I never thought I would say this, Wilborn, but I guess right now I am understanding what it's like to be a Newcastle United fan. Frankly, I never even wanted to understand that. I would see no reason why you would make that choice in your life. But they are likely to achieve significant amount of success in the years to come, and all of it will have an asterisk by it. All of it will be tainted. All of it will be soaked in blood. And unfortunately, this will be too. I love this match. I absolutely love it. I wish it was occurring somewhere else. I wish it wasn't WWE's version of the big Saudi Arabian prize fight. Well, we've got to give the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia the big matches, like, it's kind of an honouring of a contract for WWE, isn't it? These big shows require big matches. They've got to be a little bit out there and a little bit special. But I love the match. I love what WWE have here in a champion like Roman, who can be pretty much positioned against anybody now and elevate that match to mean more than it did. As we saw with, like, the Riddle TV main event.
Yeah.
And Roman in a title situation now is a big, big deal. And Logan Paul, as somebody that is almost an outsider, but has kind of come up with these justifiable cue jumps as to get a shot, to get this opportunity. That, like, he's a guy that draws interest. He's a guy that draws people. He takes physical risks. And, of course, within the context of wrestling Roman Reigns is an enormous physical risk. I love the way they framed the announcement around that press conference and around how, you know, like, they chased a bit of real sports feel. You could see Triple H was in his element, stood up at that podium, talking him up as if he was some sort of, like, babyface version of Dana White, as well as trying to be a babyface version of Vince McMahon. He's just like, he is the lesser of every evil at the moment, which is quite appropriate considering this is taking place at Crown Jewel. They got their bloodline shot before Solo Sikoa lost his North American title.
Yes.
So they got their big belts moment. Zayn was great. Heyman's back. He's a perfect hype man for this kind of feud. I love it. I absolutely love it. I have a feeling, because obviously the Crown Jewel stuff is always very tainted, the promotion for this match could be more fun than the match.
Yeah.
Like Roman and Logan getting to interact on SmackDown, or how they'll... So Roman Reigns' awesome character trait of late has been how he's manipulating Sami Zayn, right? How he's sort of kind of realizing how he's got a human shield against genuine physical threats. But this is different. Like, he shouldn't really see Logan Paul as a significant physical threat. Should see this entire match as, like, not am I in over my head, But what exactly have I entered into here? This is kind of uncharted territory to be going into a strange prize fight. And he's just got to like project this enormous confidence and this enormous sort of sense of self over a Logan Paul. Way different than being a little bit nervous of the challenge of a Drew McIntyre.
Yeah.
Or a Riddle or something like that. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how they play with this and just watching the latest ever-changing dynamics of the Bloodline. How Jay and Sami Zayn's comedy routine can continue to play out through the promotion of this match. I haven't gone full 180 on Roman Reigns, but I'm so pleased they committed to keeping the title on him at Clash at the Castle. Like, it feels like we have entered a completely new area code for this character now. He is not just, you know, he beat Brock Lesnar, but that felt very predictable. He is at this point, like, kind of unbeatable. They set up every possible circumstance for him to lose at Clash at the Castle, and he won. He could be fighting Cody Rhodes, the Royal Rumble winner at WrestleMania, and now the doubt would still be in all our heads because it's Roman. Like, this is a totally new chapter for this champion, and I'm already kind of loving watching it play out.
I'm just so glad you've joined us in the Bloodline as a fellow Reus. It's been a long time coming, but I knew you'd come around eventually. I've run out of things to say for Sami Zayn. I think he's genuinely put in some of the best work of his career. You know, in ring, he's still great. But I also don't want to be like, yeah, that was quite good what he did with Shinsuke. Remember that in NXT? But him being silly with Jey Uso is better. Two very different things. I'm not going to try and draw comparisons into them. But, you know, we've said for a long while, he's discovered alongside Kevin Owens the cheat code to WWE. And fair play to him. Good luck to him. And I do like the weird dynamic now, because I thought it was just going to be Jimmy likes him, Jay doesn't. Solo Sikoa really likes him as well. I think, gun to his head now, Solo Sikoa, if you're like, who's going to second you? He'd pick Sammy. He did already.
Well, this is it, isn't it? What's been really great about this angle of late is that Sami Zayn has, like, you have to, especially if you're Roman Reigns, right? The Roman Reigns character can never be thicker than Sami Zayn. So that we, as viewers, we need to understand that even if Roman is bringing Sami in and letting him sit in his chair, and we're best mates now, we're watching it thinking, oh, Roman just knows he can use him. Roman knows it's wiser to have a Sami Zayn as a human shield than not have him around. So that's logical. But at the same time, Roman himself can't be stupider than the character of Sami Zayn. Jimmy Uso can be stupider.
Yeah.
Right. Solo Sikoa is a completely unknown quantity. But if he's speaking to Jimmy and Jay, and there's just the three of them in the room, and this is how he might, like, if all of this were real, and they're in a room, and Solo's like, I know, but the Clash at the Castle was great. I really enjoyed actually having a walk around Wales. I went to see a couple of What Culture live shows. I had a good time. Anyway, it's nice to be back in America. Tell me about Sammy. What's the chat with him? And Jay's like, he's an absolute nightmare. I cannot stand him. And Jimmy's like, it's all right, actually. He's good crack. So Solo's like, I've got no reliable narrator here. And then he goes to Roman, and Roman's like, he'll have you back. He'll absolutely... So Sammy has had to, like, vindicate his place with the tribal chief. So why would Solo not trust him?
Yeah.
What, like, the logic, this is very quite tightly told at this point, that all of this hangs together. The Usos get to play the fans, effectively. He's funny. He's an asshole. Like, whereas within like the actual logic of the Bloodline, Sammy has earned his spot. It's not a very respectful spot, but he's earned it.
I'm so annoyed we haven't got the soundboard today, because I was about to drop an yed. What if Sammy returns to NXT to challenge for Solo's title that he never lost?
Oh my god. He climbs the ladder for the Bloodline.
Oh my god. It's not going to happen, but it's fun, but fun and fantasy booking. And like you say, the fact that we're talking about stuff like this is just a ringing endorsement of how well it works. And it factors into tonight's show, of course, because there was issues between Jay and Sammy in the Ricochet-Sami Zayn match last week. This week, it's Jay in action alongside Jimmy, and they're defending the tag team titles against one of the biggest success stories of the year on SmackDown, the Brawling Brutes.
Yeah. This is quite something. Butch and Ridge the Fridge getting a tag title match tonight. This has kind of inspired this. I wasn't blown away by seeing them as a tag team on Raw on Monday, but the babyface reactions that they've been getting as a group, for Sheamus mainly, let's be honest, especially since the story with Gunther and the match itself at Clash of the Castle. It's thrilling, and they're absolutely striking while the iron's hot. I don't think for a second that Butch and Ridge Holland were in line for a tag title match against the Usos 3 or 4 weeks ago. But this is a good example of trying. You've got to do both. You've absolutely got to follow your long-term stories through. But every now and then, there are times to just jump on something with characters. And this is absolutely that. I was very critical of a couple of examples of this in AEW just this week. I think it's always more important to follow long-term plans. But just sometimes, there are characters that require your attention that maybe you didn't anticipate. And, well, I mean, like the Acclaimed, to pick another on another a tag team that have just won tag gold. Like, that iron was white hot, and now they've got the belts. I'm not suggesting that's going to go the way the Brawling Brutes, but if you find yourself with a tag team out of nowhere that feel justifiable in a chance of beating the Usos, you book it. You absolutely book it. I think this will be a great match. I think it will have a couple of really super hot near falls. I think the Usos will win. Got slight concern that we don't get a finish because Extreme Rules could give you the six man, like the Usos and Solo Sikoa versus Brawling Brutes, and obviously with Sheamus back there, and it allows Sheamus to sideline into a match with Roman.
Yeah.
I can see them using one thing to get to another. So this might not be the end of the story. I would like to get a finish nonetheless. I would like the Usos to win and pin them, but the story is like, be a bit creative and be a bit thoughtful in how you continue that story. But I could well see this going to the six-man at Extreme Rules to funnel Sheamus towards Roman Reigns.
Imagine if you had the six man and it wasn't Solo Sikoa, it was Sami Zayn, and the titles are on the line. It's like the free bird rule almost.
Yeah.
Like, Sami, if you get pinned in this match and lose us our titles, oh, I'm going to be pissed. And I think Sami should factor into this match. I think it's fairly obvious what you do here. Something happens between Jay and Sami. Jay gets distracted, and maybe Sami even gets taken out of it. And you're like, oh my God, Ridge the bloody fridge is going to pin him or whatever. Mm-hmm. And maybe Solo makes the save, and that's how you justify a rematch. But yeah, I think the Usos are going to retain, but I'm nevertheless very much invested in this match.
Yeah, no, I think they've done really well. This is, like I say, the right time to do it because it's not going to be a title change. So why not give a couple of challenges, why not give a couple of proper contenders a title challenge when they're hot? And they absolutely are.
Also, before we move on to our final point, again, I haven't got the soundboard, so I'm going to have to do it myself. It's time to play the game! And that game is one I've just made up, because what if Roman Reigns tonight says, look, comes out, does his entrance, huge baby, especially in the Wilborn household, of course, and says, I've got this weird match coming up with Logan Paul. It's all very unpredictable, but just to show you I can do unpredictable... Open challenge for a member of the WWE alumni section on the WWE.com page.
Yeah, well, I mean, wacky game it might be, but this is obviously a very realistic thing that could totally happen. So why would we not play this?
So, Roman's there. Calls, says, who fancies it? And, you answer me that, Michael Hamm. But I'm scrolling through the WWE.com superstars page for the alumni section. Tell me when to stop and pick a number between 1 and 4. And if it's someone I can mention... then that's the person that's going to face Roman Reigns on SmackDown tonight. That's our prediction.
Stop.
Okay.
Right. Now, because we're the ones, I'm going to have to go with Uno.
Right. Okay.
But if that doesn't work, I can offer you 2.
Let's go with 2.
Okay.
Just because... one of them is not going to happen, right?
All right.
I can tell you that tonight on SmackDown, and I tell you what, if I wasn't going to stay up already, I will stay up because of this. Tonight, SmackDown, you've got Otis versus Braun Strowman, you've got a tag team title match, you've got the return potentially of Bray Wyatt, and you've got the tribal chief, the head of the table, Roman Reigns. Versus Ken f***ing Shamrock. What?
Yeah, book it. Book it. All day. The tribal chief versus the world's most dangerous man. The ankle lock spot when Roman's actually trapped for a split second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would have been Kelly had you gone for Uno, so I didn't know that really happens.
We've stacked up SmackDown. Stacked down as if we were almost like we were trying to build a car to chase a rating that isn't going to come.
Finally, I wrote this question and popped myself with it. The events of last week's SmackDown. Could Shotzi bring back the tank?
Well, I'd like to answer your question, Wilborn, as if I myself was a tank. Because tanks don't give a sh... all right. She's a babyface now.
Good. That's the best version of her.
So is her with the tank. Look, I'm being facetious. Like, her with the tank is the best. She was a breath of fresh air on NXT. I think it's safe to say that. When not a lot was fun, Shotzi was kind of fun, sort of engaging. Her matches weren't fantastic, but it never really mattered.
What did she host? Did she host Halloween Havoc?
She hosted Halloween Havoc and she was awesome at it. Yeah. Proper threw herself into the theme of it. I would be very surprised if we weren't calling her Shotzi Blackheart again within 2 or 3 weeks, based on the names of all the others that have kind of just... I was going to say that, like, they've got the names back. Things have just gone back to normal. Like, this is just a company being... I'm not saying Triple H is a perfectly normal human being, but he's substantially more normal than dead. Yeah. So, like, just getting something like that back. I have very little in the way of insight to offer on Tank. Sorry, Wilbon, I don't know if this is a technical thing. I'm getting a... What's this? There's, like, a thing coming up in the corner of the call. Somebody... It might be Cedric from downstairs in the office. Somebody is trying to make this like one of them three-way calls.
Oh.
I thought you were the admin of this. I'll try and open this window up. You're not going to believe it, Will Bond.
Who's that?
Stax is on Google Meet. Hiya, Stax.
Hang on. Let me just transfer him in.
Get him in.
Hey, guys.
Hey, all right, Stax.
All right, Stax. Good to see you, mate.
I know this is substantially cheaper than Tony D Airlines and it's better for the environment, but we don't want you on video chat all the time, please. What was your take, Stax, on Shotzi losing her surname and her tank?
You hate to see it, you know, as one of the people, I'm obviously chanting Lorenzo to my closest friend, but everybody calls me Stax. But I gotta say, as a fan of tanks, from the K2 Black Panther to the Leopard 2 to the T-34 to the Challenger 2 tank. I can't wait to see it.
Wow, Stax, I didn't realize you were that knowledgeable about tanks.
Oh, yeah, I love me a tank. The German Leopard 2A7, the M1A2 SEB from good old United States of America. And, of course, you Brits. With your Challenger 2, with the latest Chava Marva and the most protected MBTs in the world today. It's great stuff.
Wow, Stax. You know almost too much.
Well, you know, the Challenger 2 has got a very accurate 102 20mm rifle gun, as opposed to, of course, smoothbore guns used by all other modern MBTs. Maximum firing range of over 5 kilometers. And currently, Hamlin, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, the Challenger holds the record for the longest tank-to-tank kill.
I didn't know that, Stax. I can see why that could be helpful in your other lines of work, actually. Stax, seeing as we've never... I've never had a video chat with you before. Normally, you're gracious enough to fly in, which would explain, for the listeners, of course, why we didn't hear the door of the studio go. That's right, isn't it, Stax?
Yeah.
What's that film poster you've got on your Zoom call background?
That's the Godfather. I
love it. I might be the Godfather, you know. I did. I had a feeling. Your signal's lagging, I think, Stax. I'll let you get away if you want, mate.
Just before I go, I got a little something for you. You might not have heard about this. You ever heard a story about two goldfish in a tank, huh?
No.
One of them turned to the other and said, "How do you drive this thing? Hey, it's our problem."
Oh, you're wacky, Stax.
Oh, he's gone. Bye, mate.
Bye, Stax. Bye.
So, yeah, bring back the tank. Bring back the Stax and the tank.
Bring back Stax with Shotzi Blackheart.
Get him on the main roster.
What a twist.
I do not expect to know that much about tanks. I've got to be honest.
I didn't know he had that in him.
No.
I mean, don't get me wrong. He's a man that's probably familiar with weaponry, but I thought it'd be more sort of hand stuff rather than heavy artillery. Yeah, fair play to him. Nothing wrong with learning. I admire him broadening his horizons. He never knows what could be around the corner for the poor guy. I mean, I think we do. I think we've read some spoilers.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Well, anyway, one of the most anticipated SmackDowns of the year, without question, tonight. Let us know your thoughts on it on Twitter, at WhatCultureWWE. Whilst you're there, you can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Hamlet, at
Michael Hamlet.
Follow me, at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all, at WhatCultureWWE. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. Me and Sid, you're going to be here to preview AEW Rampage Grand Slam, a two-hour special, a little bit later on today, as well as Wrestle Culture with a hashtag Bloody Good Quiz. And then, of course, me and Hamlet will be back on Monday to review this SmackDown. But for now, this has been the SmackDown preview. My thanks to Michael Hamlet. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.